Hallelujah. The word's good. Amen. You can go with me. Let's just hold on a second. I don't know exactly where I want to go. I have an idea, but we'll see. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word. You are so good and so kind and so merciful to us. We love you so much. You are so good to us, Father. You not only gave us Jesus, but then you gave us a GPS. And that's the word of God. It takes us to where we need to go. And we're just so thankful for the GPS, Father. We're so thankful that we know how to get to salvation, that we know how to get to healing and prosperity and all the wonderful promises that you have, Lord. We're not left to wander around down here and stumble. We have no reason to. You've given us direction, and so we thank you. Father, speak through me that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, you'll always get the praise and the glory, because you're going to hit bullseyes this morning. You're going to speak to every heart here, every heart that's listening by live stream right now, and every heart that's listening in the archives in the future. And so we thank you for fresh revelation, for insight, instruction, and direction in our own lives. And Father, we know that any correction, any direction, any instruction, any insight is only meant to take us to a new level in you. And so, Father, we thank you. We accept that this morning. We look forward in expectation of what you're going to say and do here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise God. You can go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I don't know when we'll get there, but we'll get there. I made a statement. I think it was Wednesday night. All the services just preaching sometimes four times a week, and they just jumble together. But I think I said it Wednesday night here that, you know, there's really three steps that you have to do to have the best life ever. And, you know, a lot of times people get tripped up when it comes to, and we've talked about this in weeks past, about, you know, to get saved really was, you didn't have to really work at it. You just accepted the free gift and used your faith. But, you know, once you get saved, we see in the Bible a whole lot depends on what we do. You know, Deuteronomy 30:19 says, I call heaven to earth to record against you this day that I have set before you blessing and cursing, life and death. Therefore, choose life that you and your seed may live. And so he says, the blessing and the cursing that comes in your life or the what's available to you is based on our choices. And, you know, it's the same thing, I think, like, because a lot of times you get people have to understand something, because if you look at God as a legalistic rule type of God that you're trying to do something to get him to be pleased with you, you're going about it the wrong way. He's already so pleased with you. But he needs you to cooperate. And the example that came to me yesterday, I'm preaching along the same lines, but it's going to be a completely different message than Olean, and I'll get into that in a second. But I was thinking about this, and the Lord put this on my heart, so I started meditating on it. You know, Caleb acts like a six-year-old sometimes. And we know what's a six-year-old do. They can be mouthy. They can not listen and do their own thing, you know. And how many of you know I unconditionally love him? No matter when he screws up, no matter when he does something wrong, it doesn't change how I feel about him. But, you know, there are times where I'll say, you know, buddy, hey, I'll take you to the playground today. You know, maybe when I get home, but, you know, I got to get home. And you got to listen, you know, if it's summertime, you have to been listening to mom. Or, you know, maybe you need to go clean your room up, or you need to clean the playroom up, or you need to eat a good dinner. We'll go shoot your gun after, you know. And sometimes he's six and just doesn't do what he's told. And so then I have to follow through with my word. And so he doesn't get what is available to him because of his choices, but it doesn't change how I love him.
That's right.
And so we have to remember that, yes, our actions are what determine our blessing, but and that our actions are important. But God loves us no matter what. But there are steps and things to walk out to walk into the blessings. They're not automatic, right? And I made the statement on Wednesday that there's just three steps in life. And if I know, because they worked for me and they worked for so many other people, the people that actually do them. And they're real easy. Actually, you're going to see that you might even have some of these down already. But these steps to being the most blessed you've ever had in your life are so simple and so easy to walk out. But they're amazing. They're so simple and easy. Most people don't do these faithfully. And it's the following through of these three steps that will cause you to walk into things that you could have never before expected. Maybe you're newer to the church and you didn't know that there was a God that wanted to bless you, that God that wanted to supernaturally invade your life and your finances and your health and your relationships and your children and your job and all different areas. So if you're brand new, this is an exciting message. If you're what you'd call a seasoned Christian, this will be to get some of the chafe off you that's been a leeching on to you that you just need to get off and to sharpen you a little bit more. And so it's a message for all of us, but the three steps, you want to hear what they are, I'll just tell you what they are, and we're not going to preach about all of them. This might turn into a series about all of them, but I have direction to go in one of them today out of the three. I had a direction to go with Ole and two, but the first step to having the best life ever is to get born again. Amen. What do I mean by born again? Accept Jesus into your heart. That's what we're going to focus on today, but I'm going to tell you the other ones here so we aren't wondering about them. But most of us can say, I don't know everybody in here personally and their decisions for Jesus. I'm pretty sure most of us in here, if not all of us, have made Jesus our Lord, accepted him into our heart. So you already have number one checked off your list of the best life ever. I mean, you're already doing so good. I mean, everybody, reach your hand up like this and put it on your back and just pat yourself. Say, good job, you got one down. All right. I mean, I'm happy with one down. That means I only got two to go. Praise the Lord. And being born again. Why? Because being born again, it's a starting line. It gets you in the game.
Amen.
Amen. It gets you in the game. So that's number one. But number two, once you're born again, this is steps to the best life ever. They're so simple and so easy. If people would just do these, a lot of the things that they're having problems with would go away. It's just the truth. Number two is once you get born again, now it's time to plant.
Yeah.
Plant in a Bible-teaching church with a true shepherd. Why? Because the Bible says they that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. And we might take a whole week on this. I don't know. We'll see. But, you know, we do talk about this a lot. Why? Because the more you hear it, the more you'll have faith. And the more you hear it, the more you'll know it's important. You know why Caleb doesn't ride his bike into the road as a six-year-old? Because he's heard it over and over and over again that it's bad. You know why people won't leave a church when something goes wrong? And when they realize, and when, you know, things get tough and maybe the devil gives them a thought, if they've heard it over and over and over and over and over again, how their life depends on this place and how their life depends on the connection with their shepherd, they'll make it a point to be here and they'll make it a point to protect that relationship. So that's why we talk about it a lot. Hallelujah. Because faith or belief comes by hearing the word. But he said, they that are planted in the house of the Lord, Psalm 92:13, they'll flourish. So once you get born again, you got to plant. Jesus said this. He said, if you don't have a shepherd, he said, you're scattered and faint, dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed, like sheep without a shepherd, right? That's what Jesus said. He was with them, and he said, if you don't have a shepherd, and then Ephesians 4 and verse 11, it says he gave pastors for the perfecting of the saints. So you can't be perfected unless you're under your pastor. Now, what is a pastor's main job to do? Jesus told Peter, he said, feed the sheep, feed the sheep, feed the sheep. Well, when are feeding times? Wednesday night, 6:30, Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, feeding times. Amen. That's why it's so important to get that Wednesday message somehow, because it's a feeding time. You don't miss your feeding times, praise God. You see, part of being planted in a church is being under the vision of the shepherd that you're called to. If you're called to this place, that means you're called to me to be your shepherd. You're also called to the vision that God's laid on my heart. Amen. Well, one of the things God laid on my heart is a midweek service. Another thing God's laid on my heart is a book of the month. So you can't force me to read, I know, but that's the vision of the place. You want to get on board with the vision, don't you, and be fed like you're supposed to. Praise God. Because that's the second step to the best life ever. But let's be honest, most people do not fulfill that. And it's simple. It's crazy simple. Like, we're here for an hour and a half on Wednesday. We're here for an hour and a half on Sunday, right? 3 hours out of the week, and people can't be faithful to that. I'm talking as a whole in the body of Christ, not picking on anybody in here. As a whole in the body of Christ, can't be faithful to that. Yet we'll show up 10 hours a day, 6 days a week to our job and not miss. There's people that I know that won't miss a day ever of work. I mean, they're just so faithful to their job, and they're so unfaithful to church. Priorities are in the wrong. They have more faith in that paycheck than they do in that hour and a half of what God's going to speak to them. It's just the truth. I'm telling you, if you want your best life ever, it will not come apart from being faithful in the local church. You don't understand how vital this place is to your life. Because this is where help is coming from heaven. You say, no, 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 God will just get me my help. Oh, so you're in the special category. He's going to go outside of his word to meet you when he's already laid it out clearly in his word and given you a pastor to tell you what his word says. No. You got to be faithful. Let me tell you something. If you constantly are missing Sundays and constantly missing Wednesdays, not catching up on what the Lord is saying, you will not maximize the potential of where God wants you to be, because the Word brings that. The second step to having the best life ever, the most blessed life, is planting in a local church. And a lot of you have that down. So, I mean, pat yourself on the back again. Two-thirds of the way there. Praise God. And the last one to having the best life and the most blessed life, I mean, this is so simple and basic. Do the Word.
Yeah. Amen.
Do the Word. When you hear it from your pastor or in the Scriptures, you're meditating in the Scriptures, or you see something up there and say, I'm not doing that, you adjust. Jesus said the ones that don't do the Word are foolish. He said they're going to crumble. He said that the Word is the answer to a solid foundation and a strong life and one that can stand up in the tests and trials. Now, that's talking about the written Word, and it's also talking about the spoken Word in your heart. The spoken Word in your heart from the Holy Ghost, when the Holy Ghost tells you to do something, maybe it's give an offering, maybe it's go talk to somebody, maybe it's volunteer to serve, maybe it's whatever to do, when the Holy Ghost says to do it, that's just as has as much authority on it as the written Word. It comes from the same source. Amen. He just wrote it on your heart and not in a book. Amen?
Amen?
And so, obey the Word. Well, most people falter and stumble at this part. They don't obey the Word of God. They don't do the Word. They don't follow that which is in their heart. God will say for them to do something, and they don't do it. Well, if you want to maximize what God has for you, all you have to do are those three steps. If people would do that, oh, how life would change. Oh, how life would be different. If people would just get in the family, get faithful to do what God said to do, and then do whatever the Word says to do. Oh, how people would be blessed. Last night, I went the direction of obeying the spoken Word of God. And I'll tell you, some utterance came out last night of things in boldness concerning some things about being doer of the Word that was in your heart that I've never said before, but it was like when I was preaching, I thought I was going the direction I am today last night, and on my way to service in the vehicle on 86 going to Olean, the Lord said, no, you're going a different direction to Olean, you'll go this direction in the morning. And what was crazy was after I got done preaching about doing the Word, a woman came up and followed through on something that the Lord had told her to do a month ago. She was in tears. And so, I don't know if it was just for her, but it was for that night. And so it was like when I was preaching about this, and then when I was doing worship, I got even more direction on it, and that was the main direction we went. It was like a door was opened in the Spirit that I have been standing on the outside of for so long. And finally, it was like that kid on the edge of the swimming pool that's afraid to jump in because the water's cold. Finally says, to heck with this, I'm going in. And I just kind of jumped through it, and utterance came, and people seemed blessed. I don't know. I hope so. Praise the Lord. And so today we'll look at some things, and I believe that if we do go in a series with this, we'll hit some of the stuff we talked about last night. But number one is to be born again. What does that mean? To accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And now, you might say, man, I've been born again forever. This is going to be a message so basic for me. If you start saying that, that just tells me you need it the most.
Right.
The minute you start thinking you know it all is the minute you have to realize, I don't know very much. Because you don't, and I don't either. Who does? Jesus does. Praise God. And, you know, it's like this, that being born again is the starting line. It's what gets you the opportunity to be blessed. It puts everybody at an equal, God's an equal opportunity God.
Yeah,
he is.
Right.
And it starts with being born again. You come in the family and he's not a respecter of persons. That tells us he's an equal opportunity God. And we're thankful for that, you know.
Yeah.
Whether or not you're a fan of Donald Trump or not, I'm not here to promote that. I just know that one of the criticisms of him was that there's no doubt he's good at business. I mean, what he's done, not to say he's done some failed along the way, but, you know, it's not all about who hasn't failed along the way, right? But anyways, that's not my point to be pro or against him. My point is this, that they come against him from the other side that, well, he was given a huge loan from his daddy. Of course he's going to. Well, I know a lot of lottery winners that end up broken and bankrupt. He still had to turn that money into the empire he has now. He could have blown it. Like, I mean, I know you see the show, How the Lottery Changed My Life, and for the most part, that show doesn't turn out good for a lot of people. I mean, they had an opportunity for things to go one way or the other. Well, the same with someone like Donald Trump. Well, it's the same with being a born-again Christian. When we get born again and come into the family, we all have an equal opportunity to walk into everything that God has for us. Now, but let's face it, people squander that.
Come on.
There are children of God living in abject poverty, completely depressed, chaos in their life, crisis after crisis, defeat after defeat. And then there are other Christians full of joy, life, and peace. No matter what comes their way, it's like water off a duck's back, man. They're just walking over that test and trial. Well, it's not because of God. Everybody had, it's like God gave everybody a loan. He gave us Jesus. That was our loan. What are you going to do with Jesus now? Well, some lottery winners turned it into bad. Donald Trump turned it into a whole lot of money. Amen? Well, what are you going to do with being born again? And so that's what I'm saying is whether you don't haven't had knowledge forever about your salvation, we're going to give you some of that today, or if you're just coming in and you're newer to this, it's time to enlighten you and let you know what's available to you once you get born again. And here's the thing, though. A failure to recognize what's been made available the day you got born again, which for me was January 10th, 2002, got saved. The instant that I got born again, these things that I'm going to talk to you about were made available to me. But I had to become knowledgeable about them for me to walk in them and to benefit from them.
Amen.
I often use this example. If you're a hunter, you might know what I'm talking about. There's a suit called the heater body suit. It's like a glorified sleeping bag. And it's camouflaged, and that thing, it rolls up real small, you know, and you bring it to your tree stand. You get up in that tree stand, and it's got legs, but it doesn't have arms, but it's big, and it keeps you in. It works like, you know how if you have gloves, your hands get cold, but if you have mittens, they stay warmer because it's all together, you know, and not separated and that. Well, that's kind of the idea of the heater body suit. Well, for a whole year, I hunted with my Amish friends in Ohio, and I learned something about them. They sit all day long. I mean, dark to dark, and it's cold and the weather and different things. And we'd get back to the truck, and I was about ready to never hunt ever again. And they're excited about the next morning. And I'm thinking, didn't you guys freeze? Oh, no, we didn't freeze. We didn't freeze at all. Well, for years, and this is the way it is for a lot of born-again Christians, for years, I was out searching for things. I mean, I had custom-made wool clothing from a company out west to try to keep me warm. Bibs and a coat didn't work. I get cold pretty easy out there. I had all different Under Armour type stuff, all different types of merino wool base layers. I could not find anything to keep me warm. And so I'd sit in my stand if it was dropped below 30 degrees. And man, after an hour, no matter what I was wearing, I was shivering. And so then you'd wear so many layers, I looked like the kid in the Christmas story. Try to pull my bow back. It's like, I don't think so. It's not happening. You know, I looked a little puffy. And the good thing I didn't fall down, I would have not been able to stand up. You remember that kid?
Yeah.
That was me. So many layers on, and then you're uncomfortable. You get out of the stand, your neck is sore because you have so much on. And I get to the back of the truck, and they're happy as can be, can't wait to hunt again in the morning. And I'm like thinking, I need to fake a sickness or something. Well, that's just what's coming in my head. I didn't do it, but I'm thinking, I got to fake like I'm sick and not hunt anymore. I can't take this. This is horrible. I say, what is your secret? They said, oh, we have a heater body suit. I said, you have one of those bulky things? I've heard about those things and seen those things. He said, they actually work. He said, you'll never regret it. So I bought one of those things. And I went hunting with it in Pennsylvania one morning on a 30-degree morning. It was last year. And I'm going to tell you what, that thing's about $349. You say, wow, that's crazy. No, no, no. The first 5 minutes, I said, that was money well spent. It is the best piece of hunting gear I have ever bought. It keeps me on my stand longer. And let me tell you something, the old adage, you can't kill a buck from the couch. So if it can keep me in the tree longer, I have a better chance of killing a buck. And so the heater body suit. But here's the thing. Years I hunted, and it was available, and I didn't know about it and didn't take part in it. So much has been made available at the new birth, the instant you got born again. And you might have heard about it. You might not have ever heard about it. Some people have no idea what the heater body suit is. Or you may have heard about it and just not take advantage of it. There was a time I'd never heard about it. Then there was a time I heard about it but didn't take advantage of it. But then there was a time where I said, okay, this is silly to hear about it, to know about it, and not take advantage of it. And now I take advantage of it. It's changed my hunting life. Praise the Lord. Aren't you happy for me?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And so there's things that have been made available to you the minute you got born again, the second, the instant you got born again, that are life-changing things. Would you like to know about them? Because, yes, we get in the door at salvation, but salvation is the starting line. Salvation is like Donald Trump's dad giving him a loan and saying, son, make something of yourself. Well, that's what happened when you got born again. God said, here's some things for you. Make something of yourself. Amen?
Amen.
Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, that means when you got born again in Christ, he is a new creature. Say new. New, brand new. Hallelujah. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That happened at the day of salvation. Go to verse 21. For he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin. Now notice this. That we might be made. Made this way. When you got born again, you were made this way. Just like when you got born in the earth, when I got born, I was made a man. Didn't do anything to try to make it that way. I know that this day and age we're living in, there's some weird things out there, but I'm telling you what, I was born a man, I'm staying that way. Praise the Lord. That's the way it was intended. And so I didn't do anything to earn that. Nothing I could do in my mama's belly. Nothing I could do before when God knew me, before I was even in the womb. It just happened. I was made a man. Praise God. Just like so many of you were, so many of you made a lady. You didn't do anything to earn it. And the Bible says he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made. It's nothing you could earn. It's nothing that you could do yourself. Made what? Made the righteousness. The righteousness of God. Not the righteousness of your own thoughts. Not the righteousness of some great Christian that you've blown up in your mind to be so wonderful. The righteousness of God. Do you know how righteous God is? He's perfect.
Amen.
He's never missed it. He's never done it wrong. He's never had a bad day. He's never screwed up. And the Bible says when you accept Jesus, everything prior in your life, everything prior to January 10th, 2002, and my God, I have a laundry list of things. In fact, whenever I'm in the back room at most of the guest minister meetings, you know who they're talking about? Me. You know why? Because I was the worst one of the bunch. I have all the stupid stories of all the dumb things that I did when I was unsaved, all the jobs I quit, all the endeavors I did, all the money I wasted, all the stupid, foolish things that I did when I was unsaved. The Bible says all the sin, all the mistakes, all the wrongdoing, when I got born again on January 10th, 2002, the Bible says it was wiped clean. The slate was wiped clean. I now became brand spanking new. I don't even have to beat myself up of anything that I've ever done before that day. You've been made that way, and now let me help you, because I know what your little brain is saying. Because, well, maybe your brain's not like my brain. I hope it's not like my brain. But my little brain, when I heard this, started saying, yeah, okay, that's great, January 10th, 2002, but it's 2016. What happens to all the mistakes? What happens to all the failures from 2002 to now? I'm glad you asked. Go to 1 John 1 and verse 9. 1 John 1 and verse 9. Praise God. Because once you got born again, you became brand new. God now looks at you. He said, oh, they're made righteous like me. Do you know that if you stood before God with Jesus next to you, and somebody asked the question, if somebody was standing off to the side, and there you were, and there God was, and someone said, hey, come here, I have a question for you. Which one of those people are more righteous, Jesus or so-and-so? Do you know if that person knew the right thing, they would say, they're the same. Him and Jesus are the same. That guy might say, what do you mean? You can't say that he's as righteous as Jesus. I didn't say he was as righteous as Jesus. The Bible says he's as righteous as the one he's standing in front of.
Amen.
Righteous as God. Praise the Lord. 1 John 1 and verse 9. Now here's what you have to understand. Is that this book was written to Christians. What's that mean? They're already saved and made brand new. So he says this in verse 9. If we confess our sins as Christians, he is faithful, praise God, and just to forgive us our sins. Now notice this. And cleanse us from all what? Unrighteousness. When the unrighteousness is removed, guess what we become again? The righteousness of God. Amen.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm trying to tell you is that being born again offers you the opportunity to be free from every stupid, wrong, sinful, lustful, hurtful thing you've ever done. God doesn't want you to hold it against yourself. God doesn't want you to think about it. He says, I've blotted it out. Go to Isaiah 43 and verse 25 real quick. Praise his name. And I'm going to tell you why this is important that you know it in a second. Isaiah 43 and verse 25 says this. He says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out, I love that word blotteth out, thy transgressions, thy mistakes, thy sins, thy wrongdoing, thy wrong living, for my own sake. He says, I'm not even doing it for you. I'm doing it for me. I love you so much, I'm going to do it for my behalf, not just your behalf. He says, for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Now go back to 1 John 1 and verse 9. He said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He said he would blot it out. So he's saying that once you get born again, yeah, you were made brand new, but don't feel bad if you've missed it. All you have to do is confess it if you've missed it. He says once you confess it, he takes his supernatural Tide pen that he has, and he gets you all wet and scribbles that off, and all of a sudden, boom, it's disappeared and gone. I love those Tide pens.
Yes.
They've helped me a lot. If you don't know what a Tide pen is, you need to have one and carry it with you. You get stain on you, and man, you just boop, squish that thing on you, and it gets wet, and you rub it in real fast, and then after a while, it dries up, and the thing's gone. And you know what? It's like it was never there. You look all over for that. It was never there. Never there. Praise God for the supernatural Tide pen. 1 John 1, verse 9 is the supernatural Tide pen is what it is. It's a whole new way of looking at that verse. Being born again offers you the freedom to be free from your past. Now, here's why this is important. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. That's the only thing that God and I don't have in common. He likes coffee, I don't. You say, how do you know he likes coffee? Hebrews. Yeah. Well, but he is at least, you know, at least God is... has something in common with me, you know, the book of the Bible, Nehemiah. You know, so Jim and I, you know. Jim and I, that's our favorite book of the Bible. And, of course, it's the World Series. We know God's a baseball fan because the first words out of his mouth were, in the big inning. Right? Yeah, so. Listen to those courtesy laughs out there. Huh? You guys need to work on your fake laughing. That's all I got. That's all the jokes I got. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. He says, let us, who? You and I. Therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain. You know how you obtain? You know what the equation is? Your boldness. Why? Because boldness is equal to faith. Boldness shows up in the presence of God, knows what belongs to him or her, and gets it and says, this is mine, I'm taking it, praise God. But you'll never show up with boldness bringing your faults, your failures, your screw-ups, everything you did wrong in that marriage, everything you did wrong in another marriage, everything you did wrong with your kids, everything you did wrong at that job, everything you did wrong in college, everything. You bring that stuff to God, there's no boldness there. You'll be going there like a dog with a tail between your legs. You want to receive from God, you have to have boldness. How do you have boldness? How bold would you be if you never made a mistake? Why was Jesus so bold? He never missed it. Why would he so freely come to the Father? There was no break in their fellowship. There was no blemishes there that would cause Jesus to be hindered in his boldness. You have that same opportunity if you'll walk in it. If you'll walk in it. How did Paul, who used to murder Christians, become the greatest Christian ever and say, I forget those things which are behind? He had a revelation of righteousness. He knew it wasn't based on his works. It was based on what Jesus did for him. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, I don't condone this. This is part of my past life. But they say there's something called beer goggles. Where somebody gets so, intoxicated that maybe somebody they thought wasn't so attractive all of a sudden becomes pretty good looking. Right? Well, I say this. Jesus put on the blood goggles.
Amen.
And when you're messy and you have stuff, if you'll confess it, he puts those blood goggles on, and all he sees is righteousness. All he sees is white as snow. That's what he sees. Praise God. Well, go to Proverbs 28 and verse 1. Proverbs 28 and verse 1. You better have the revelation that you're righteous. Stop bringing all your failures and faults. You know what your failures and faults are worthy of forgetting? Your failures and faults were taken care of by Jesus. And until you accept that and renew your mind to the point where you stop holding yourself accountable to everything you've ever done wrong and all the missteps and mistakes, you'll never be the bold Christian that God needs you to be to receive from him. Proverbs 28 verse 1 says, the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. What did he say? Come boldly to my throne. What's going to cause you to have boldness? A revelation of your righteousness. How bold would you be if you actually believed you were as righteous as the Son of God who's never missed it once? You would go to the throne, because why don't we believe we could receive from God? Because of our own faults and failures. Well, I don't believe I deserve. I don't think I'm good enough, and I didn't do the... Stop with that garbage. He saved you, enabled you the ability to be free from everything you've ever done wrong. Do you realize you can walk out of here spotless?
Praise God.
I've already told you, you got the best pastor in the world. I'm perfect. Amen. I'm perfect. Amen. I've never missed it once, and if I did, I don't remember it. Because the Bible tells me not to remember it. So I just purpose my mind to forget it. So then you say, well, what about when the thoughts come and the accusations come? You just say, oh, no, 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 I've been forgiven of that. That stuff's gone and wiped away. That stuff's gone and wiped away. You see, when the shirt comes back from the dry cleaner and the ketchup stain's all of a sudden gone, you know what I'm not doing? Moping around the house about the ketchup stain that used to be on my shirt. Oh, I had a stain and people are going to think I'm a slob. Nope, I just put that thing on and walk around and like, they don't even know.
Yeah.
What a slob I am. Praise the Lord. They don't even know. That's how you need to be.
That's good.
You need to free yourself from that garbage that enabled you. And the righteousness stays ongoing with repentance. Not that we use righteousness as a license to sin, but praise God, when we miss it as human beings, it's there for us to take. And once you repent and once you confess it, it's gone. Stop bringing it up to Him. Stop mentally going over it in your head and beating yourself up. It's over. You're free from it. Amen. You know, I've been thinking about, you know, I've been where I've had, I remember one time I had a brand new tie, went out to eat. Man, I am just so messy when I eat. And I spilled on my new tie, and I was feeling pretty bad about it, you know? Feeling down and out, like, oh, come on. You know, you slob, like, what's wrong with you? You know, took it to the dry cleaners, got it back. I didn't feel bad anymore. I was excited about what the dry cleaner offered me the ability to walk into. And he says, I'm allowing you to walk into freedom from everything you've ever done wrong. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He's good to us. Now go with me to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. We're just going to look at three things being born again offers you. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Number one was it offered you righteousness. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, past tense, with all, everybody say all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now here's the key, in Christ. What does that mean, in Christ? When you got born again, you became in Christ. Well, when you got born again, ladies and gentlemen, you became part of a new family. You were adopted and you had a name change. You now became His, praise God. One translation, the Worley translation, says that we've been blessed with all that heaven itself enjoys. That God has blessed us with all that heaven itself enjoys. That sounds like heaven on earth.
Yes.
That sounds like the Zoe God kind of life. Well, what's heaven enjoying? Prosperity, peace, healing, victory, joy, mental stability, emotional stability. Praise God. That's what heaven enjoys. And He says you've already been blessed with that. The moment you got born again, all those things were laid at your feet. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You became part of a new family. But until you get that revelation that they belong to you, that they've already been paid for you, see, we got to get out of our poverty mentality, out of our sickness mentality. Some people have such, strongholds in these areas because they've been taught their whole life about being poor, about being sick, that sickness is just common. That's just what you do in life. You just hope that you don't get sick. Not when you're a Christian. You don't have to walk around that way. You don't have to live your life in fear and wonder, oh my God, what's going to happen? Yeah, but I know so-and-so. I'm not concerned with so-and-so. I'm concerned with what the Word says you can have. I don't know what so-and-so was saying. I don't know what so-and-so was believing. I don't know how so-and-so was living. And now you might take it a step further and say, oh, are you saying so-and-so? No, I'm not saying anything about so-and-so. I'm saying take your mind off of so-and-so and put your mind on the Word, and you walk out your own salvation.
Amen.
Stop having your faith in somebody else that faltered or stumbled or was taken out earlier or had something happen to them. We don't, you know, I have that in my life. We're compassionate on those things. But man, I don't put my faith when another Christian goes through stuff and say, well, if they're going through something, it must mean I have to. No, you can have what the Word says you can have.
Right.
Amen, it's true. Praise His name. If Bible says you've been blessed. You have to realize what family you're in now. You have to start realizing it's not grandma and grandpa's way and mom and dad's way and the way the culture is in your family. You know, maybe you grew up in a poor family. Well, you're not in a poor family anymore.
Amen.
You've been blessed with everything heaven enjoys. Heaven's not enjoying poverty. You became part of a family where your dad is the ultimate doctor. He is Jehovah Rapha, the healer himself. Amen? And so and you have to understand and realize that, right? It's like different strokes when Arnold came into the family. He was in a poor family. Then he came into Mr. Drummond's house. Well, now everything that Mr. Drummond had became available to Arnold.
Yeah.
That refrigerator that he frequented so much, jumping on the bed, all that space he get to run through. That's what God has offered you. Amen. Praise his name forevermore.
Amen.
And it's all accessed through the force of faith.
Praise
Hallelujah. You need that revelation, don't you? That, hey, I'm a part of a new family now. Well, you know, there's probably nobody listening by live stream from your side of the family right now, right? I mean, come on. I got to be careful what I'm saying here, but they don't even know I pastor a church, I don't think. I mean, seriously, I get around these people. I love them. They don't even ever ask me anything. I don't even think they know what I'm doing in life. That's probably better for now until they get born again. You know, I'm going to tell you something because a door just opened. There's an aunt it's kind of a weird situation with my biological dad that committed suicide. His mom is his aunt is the mom of her uncle. So it's kind of weird, but how that situation is, and it's a little confusing, but she was in the hospital, and you know, we've tried to lead people to Jesus before, and we've had pushback, you know, and just, well, I went down and saw my Aunt Millie. She was in the hospital, and you know, I went in there with thoughts that, man, I know she's around. She's never going to hear the word. And at the time, she's alive now. We prayed for her, and God strengthened her, and she lived way longer than she's still living. And I went in there to get her born again. I was on a mission. But I went in there with fear, you know. You ever been there, you know, and you're going in to lead someone, you have anxiety and things like that, and devil tells you they're going to reject you, get mad. And I went in there fully expecting to be shut down by this sweet lady because she has a bold, feisty side to her as well. And I thought, for sure, this ain't going to work, you know. But I had a prompting. I went in there and led her to Jesus, and tears just rolled down her face. She was so happy.
Praise God.
And you know what she said? She said, "You make sure you do my funeral. You make sure you do." I said, "I'm not telling you. You're going to have to tell them that. I'm not telling them that because they're going to want to have it at a whole different type of church." And I said, "You got to let them know." But she got born again. The moral of the story is this: our job is to preach the gospel, not coerce people to receive it. But we do need to preach it. Because if we don't preach it, they'll never have a chance. She didn't even know. She had no idea how to get saved. And she's 80-some years old, had no idea her whole life. Knew about Jesus, been in churches, had no idea. She'd have never known if I'd have got so afraid.
Praise God.
Just preach it. Praise the Lord. Just preach. You know what? I always say it this way. Say, "Well, man, I don't want to offend them or upset them." I'll tell you what, the fiery flames of hell will upset them and offend them way more. And if they get mad at you and don't receive it, at least a seed was planted. And you never know. Down the road, they might, you know, God work on their heart, you know, send somebody to them. And so, praise the Lord. Amen. But you're in a new family now. You're in a new family now. A family that's not, you know, the family lines are not sickness and disease and poverty and heartbreak and heartache and sadness. And you say, that's been the mark of my life. But you don't understand. You are now Arnold Drummond. You are not Arnold Jackson anymore.
Yeah.
You are Arnold Drummond.
Yeah.
Your name was changed from Jackson to Drummond. And in there, his name being, if your last name's Jackson here today, doesn't mean you're poor and like Arnold, but he was. And when his name got changed to Drummond, he stepped over in a new category. You stepped over in a new category the day you got born again.
Amen.
You know that Arnold could have gone into that house and still lived as poor as ever? He could have sat there afraid, not availed himself to the refrigerator, not availed himself to all that Mr. Drummond had, refused all the blessings. But no, he just received them.
Amen.
You got to become aware of these things that they're accessed by faith. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now let's go to Ephesians 1 and verse 16. So number one, you were made righteous, free from your past. I know all this. Okay, if there's anything that's been beating you up in your mind, you do not have a clear revelation of your righteousness.
Wow, that's so
anything at all that's still beating you up about yourself, don't be looking at me like, preach something more revelation. That's all revelation you need. If you have one thing in your head that you're still down on yourself about, you must not realize that when you stand before Jesus, having your sins repented, you are as clean as Jesus Christ himself.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Good. It's true. And you've been born into a new family. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1 and verse 16 says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you would know, because if you don't know, you won't receive it, that you'll know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come. What's he saying? I put my son in a place of authority.
Yes.
What's principalities, power, might, and dominion? That's the levels of the devil's kingdom.
Yeah.
That's the devil's levels. Amen. That's his kingdom. And the Bible says that Jesus has been placed far above the devil's kingdom. Aren't you glad?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'm glad for it because it has connotations for me. It means something for me. It says, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, every name that is named, that's sickness, that's poverty, that's depression, that's fear, that's anger, that's lust, whatever. Jesus is above all those names. And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Now he said it put all things under his feet. That means depression, anxiety, fear, lack, sickness, disease, anger, lust, anything. Under the feet of Jesus. Well, what are the feet of Jesus? Gave him to be head over all things of the church. The church, the church, the church, which is his body, the next verse says. Which is his body? Which is his body? Which is his body? Well, what's part of the body? The feet are part of the body. What's the feet of Jesus? Everything's under him.
Yeah.
So it's not just everything's under Jesus. Everything's under the feet of the church. Who are the church? We are the church.
Yeah.
All things have been placed under our feet. We've been placed in authority. In effect, it goes on to say, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Go down to verse, chapter 2 and verse 4. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. When did he quicken you together with Christ? The day you got born again. January 10th, 2002, not only did I become righteous, not only did I get adopted into a new family and a new way of living, prosperity and health and victory and joy and peace were all made available to me. He said, this was also made available to me the day I became in Christ. He says in verse 6, raised us up together.
Amen.
And made us. See, you can't avoid it. You can't stop it. The day you got born again, he grabbed you by the back of your neck and said, whoop! And sat you down with the Savior. Where did he sit you down with the Savior? At the right hand of the Father, far above all principalities, power, might, and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age, but that which is to come. What does that mean? You're seated far above every name, everything the devil could throw at you, every single thing the world could throw at you, depression, fear, anxiety, sickness, disease, poverty, lack, lust, you name it, it's all under you. You're not, it's not just under you. You've been seated far above. You've been made to sit there. See, if you don't get a revelation of where your seat is, you won't operate from that seat.
Amen.
We are just the lowly scum of the earth. No, you're not. When you got born again, you got put up and made to sit with him over everything. Praise God. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? You better get a revelation of the seat that you sit in. Because when you start realizing the seat that you sit in, you'll start operating out of that seat. I remember, we'll close with this, the after school job that I took there years ago before I started pastoring. The job that I supernaturally got didn't have the qualifications that were even listed. They changed them just to, so they could hire me, change that program all around through the help of God. But when I first got there, man, it was a mess. In the middle of a school year I started, the old coordinator got fired, and she had hired all her friends. And so they were all mad at me when I got hired, and it was just chaos there. The kids didn't respect me, the parents didn't respect me, and my staff. I mean, here I was. I had just recently come off, not too long ago, 26 jobs in 2 years, and now I'm the boss of 15 to 20 people. You know that's God. You know that's God. And so Anyways, they're treating me terribly, and they're not listening to anything I say, and I'm timid, and the kids are running over me, the parents are running over me. And I remember sitting down with my coordinator, the person over me. Her name is Tracy Cahey. I'll forever be grateful for her. I think she lives in Indiana now, married with kids, and she said this to me. I was telling her about it, everything, and she said, be the coordinator. She said, be the coordinator, and I thought to myself, didn't register first, and I kind of looked at her because I was looking for her to do something about it. She said, you're the coordinator, be the coordinator. And I said, and so she had to spell it out for me. Sometimes you got to just talk to me like I'm a kindergartner. It'll save you from having to repeat your stuff over and over again. Just talk to me like I'm just a little fella. Well, littler than RDM. Talk to me that way. And so she did. She said, you have the ability, who you let in this program, who you let out of this program. What parents, if the parents treat wrong, their kids can't come. If the kids aren't going to behave and listen, they don't come to the program. I'm not expecting you to be walked on. Be the coordinator. She said, if the staff won't abide by what you're saying, you're the coordinator. Do something about them. If they won't listen, weed the garden, she said. She said, be the coordinator. Well, I was looking to her to do something, just like most people are looking to God to do something. And he says, wait a second. I did something. I yanked your rear up to heaven, made you sit with my son, who's above everything. You're a joint and a co-heir with him. Praise God. He said, behold, I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by it shall any means hurt you. Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, if you need it. Praise God. He says, I give you the authority. You better recognize that the seat that you, see, you didn't have to earn it. You don't have to go to church for 10 years to get it. You don't have to become a Bible school student or go away to Bible school or to get some degree in theology. No, the minute you got born again, shoop, sit down. Yeah. You were at that moment made in all authority over the enemy. Over sickness, over disease. They all have to bow to you. But if you don't act and walk from that seat, it won't matter. And a lot of Christians don't act and walk from that seat. How do I know? Oh, bad am I, the devil's after me. That's what they say. The devil's after me, and I want to look at him, and I want to just sarcastically say, because sometimes I have a sarcastic in my bone in my body that just gets, you know, talking. And I want to say, what is your point that the devil is after you? Don't you know he's defeated? Don't you know he's under your feet? Don't you know that you have authority over him? Do something about the devil. Be the Christian from the right seat, right? Be the Christian from your seat, praise God. Oh, Pastor Mike, this and that. Do something about it. He gave you the authority. Every single thing, if poverty's giving you a hard time, do something about it. If fear's giving you a hard time, do something about it. It's under your feet. It's waiting for an order to go, praise God, because it has to obey the voice of the Christian. You'd say, well, we don't have any problem believing that the devil and that fear and lack and sickness and disease will believe the voice of our Savior. But see, remember, the only reason fear, the devil, anxiety, sickness, depression, and all those things, and oppression from the enemy, the only reason they listen to Jesus is because of the seat he's sitting in. He's seated in a place of authority over those things. That's the only reason they listen to him, because God put him there, exalted him to that place. And we have no problem believing that with Jesus, but ladies and gentlemen, you're seated in the same seat. Amen. Raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. Where? Far above. Far above. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Three steps to the best life ever. Get born again, plant and be faithful, and number three, do the word of God. And by being born again, some things were made available to you at your salvation. Righteousness, praise God, right? Authority, and a new family with a new set of guidelines to how you live your life. Better get your mind renewed to these things to walk into them. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. Oh, we're blessed and bettered for it. We thank you for where we're going, Father. We've been some places and we're here now, but we're going to better. We're going on to more. There's more prosperity waiting for us. There's more health waiting for us. There's more peace waiting for us. There's more joy waiting for us. There's more victory waiting for us. Hallelujah.
Praise.
Come on and praise him this morning. We bless you, Jesus. We glorify you. You made me righteous. I couldn't even do anything about it. You made me sit with Jesus. You made me. You adopted me. You took me off the streets of darkness, off the streets of hell, and put me in a penthouse in a high-rise mansion filled with this. The cupboards were stacked with prosperity. The cupboards in the refrigerator is stacked with prosperity and healing and blessing. Thank you, Father. You did that for me. I don't have to earn that. You made it available. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless you this morning. Our best life is yet ahead of us. Our best life is yet ahead of us. Say that with me. Say, our best life is yet ahead of us. You need to be saying that. You need to be believing that. You need to be confessing it. My best life is yet ahead of me. My best life is yet ahead of me. My most prosperous days are yet ahead of me. My most peaceful days are yet ahead of me. My most health-filled days. You need to pace your floor, turn your stinking TV off, and get up and start doing the talking. Stop letting Alex Trebek and Pat Sajak and whoever you're watching at night do the talking for you. You get up and start pacing your floors in your living room and start declaring how it's going to be. Because the Bible says, let the redeemed say so. Let them declare. A man's belly shall be satisfied by the fruit of his lips, and increase shall come by his mouth. Hallelujah. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. Matthew 12:37 says, they that by your words will be justified, by your words will be condemned. Stop condemning yourself and start justifying yourself. Start speaking prosperity. Start speaking health. Start speaking victory. Start saying, that situation that looks impossible is hard and I really don't like that I'm in, it's turning around. It's turning around. And what the devil has meant for bad, God's going to turn to good. And if the devil caused me trouble, God's going to give me double. Hallelujah. That's faith talking. That is faith talking. Praise God. You know, the devil does a lot of talking. The devil does a lot of talking. You need to start trash talking back to him. Stop listening to all the garbage he's telling and start throwing some back into his face. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. God told you to go talk to somebody and you say, I don't know if I can do it. I know. Stop saying that. Start saying, I'm as bold as a lion because I'm righteous. I'm bold. I'm bold. I'm bold. Glory to God. I've been made the righteousness of God. I've been made the prosperity of God. I've been made the health of God. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Father, we bless you this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. Oh, God, you're so good to us. We thank you for your mercy and your goodness. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Again, I'm almost certain that we're all born again in here, but somebody might not be. There might be a chance of that. Or somebody might be listening by live stream. Or when they log on in the future and they click on this message, they might not be born again. So if you can say to yourself, if my last day on planet Earth were today, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. That means you need Jesus. Because I know if today were my last day on planet Earth, I'd be going right into the arms of my Savior. And the reason I know is because the Bible says if I receive Him, if I accept Him into my life, I'm saved and going to heaven. I become a child of God. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, is there anybody in here? We won't embarrass you. That you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. You've never officially said, Lord, I do believe in you, but I want you to come into my life. I invite you in. Is there anybody in here that's never done that? Would you raise your hand if you've never accepted Jesus? Anybody at all? Father, I don't see any hands, so I didn't think I would. But Lord, if by chance somebody's listening now or in the future and they've never made Jesus the Lord of their life, oh, Father, I pray that they would not pass from this life until they have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And if you're listening, you say, how do I do that? You just say, Lord, I believe that you died and rose again. Please come into my heart. He'll save you on the spot. All these things will come available to you right then and there. The next job you have is plant yourself in a Bible teaching church where you can learn all the things that God has for you and how to access them for your life. Father, you're merciful. Can we just worship Him one more time? I don't think that we could ever say thank you enough for what you've done for us. I think a thank you is warranted. Praise God. We do worship you. We love you and glorify you. We magnify you and praise your name. I'm just waiting on Him to make sure. Just getting the antenna out and just going, making sure. Praise God. We bless you, Jesus. We honor you. We honor you. We honor you. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now I'm about to say something. You can look up here. It's important that we understand as a young church, I'll help you with this. When God calls something out, you do not sit in your seat because you're shy to come forward. Do not quench the anointing. It's for your help. You say, well, I'm already believing God for that. Well, this is your manifestation. Who here is struggling in their feet? Who's ever having feet problems? Whoever, is that you? Who, there's more. Whoever's struggling in their feet, come up here. It's more than just you. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's an anointing here this morning. Thank you for your boldness. Stand right here. Praise the Lord. Jeff, do you need to be ministered to as well?
Yes, sir.
Stand right next to Diane. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's help for this. There's help for this. Praise God. We'll start down here. Make sure you're right behind him. Praise God. In the name of Jesus, we command from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, healed and whole. We speak to the problems in his feet. We say, get right. Everything that's crooked, everything that's out of place, you must obey the name of Jesus. Get straight now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, we command all pain, all problems, everything crooked to be made straight, healing from head to toe in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you so much. Thank you so much for the healing power of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we command all pain and sickness and disease to go. Leave her body now in Jesus' name. Healing. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, we curse any pain, anything crooked, anything out of order, any joint, any ligament, anything, any arthritis, any pain, anything that's there, we curse it. In the name of Jesus, be free. In the name of Jesus, be free from head to toe, head to toe. Head to toe. We just pray. Let's thank him now. Just thank him. Praise you, Jesus. We bless you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Is there anything else, Father? Is there anything else? Let's just worship him. We don't want to. I know lunch is waiting, snacks are waiting, but the Holy Ghost is more important. Is there anything else? Thank you, Jesus. Anything else, Lord? You said we would be a church of miracles, signs, and wonders. So we thank you that the manifestations will bring about the fulfillment of miracles, signs, and wonders. Anything else? Anything else? Who's having problems in their stomach? Stomach issues. Stomach issues. Come forward. Don't wait. There's an anointing for that. Come forward. And I just, all of a sudden in my spirit, I saw it in there. Praise God. Thank you for your boldness. God's going to heal you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, we command everything to be made straight in there. Everything to be made straight. We curse whatever's going on in there. And in the name of Jesus, be free, Chad. Be free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we command all pain, all problems to leave her body now. In the name of Jesus, we command it to go. We command it to go. You're not allowed to stay. We command it to go in Jesus' name. Chad, are you here for feet or stomach? Stomach? Stomach and feet? Well, let's get it all then. Praise the Lord. From the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, we command it to go. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the healer, be healed in Jesus' name. Now, if you got hands laid on you, the next step for you to do is say, Father, I thank you, I'm healed. Because the Bible says they'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Praise the Lord. The Lord called that out to be a manifestation of what you're believing for. I know you're in faith about this stuff, but this was the anointing, the healing anointing. Let's just seek him. And make sure there's nothing else that he wants to do here this morning. Hallelujah. Lord, is there anything else that you want to minister to? Anybody else in particular? Anything else, Father? We are open to whatever you want to do or say. Be God here this morning. Be God here this morning. Anything else, Father? Hallelujah. In my spirit, it's like it unhooked. We're supposed to unhook right there. So let's just thank him for what we saw. We're going to have testimonies, praise God. You just hook up with that in faith that those things are being made straight. Doesn't matter if you still have the symptoms in your body. We don't go by feelings, we go by the word. Hallelujah. So we thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. We bless you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, sir. Before you run out of here, I want to commend people for coming right up. You know, when God's offering you your answer, we ought to be excited about that. And there's nothing to be ashamed of. That's God saying, I love you so much, I want to help you. So I commend the church for coming right up. That's I don't call things out unless I know. Because I don't play games with this stuff, you know. It's the move of the Spirit. And so, but it's important that people obey those things, and you guys did. So praise God. If you had hands laid on you, just go forward and say, I'm healed. It's gone. That thing's leaving. If it didn't leave, it's leaving. Hallelujah. Well, don't forget we have snacks and goodies over there in the Old Sanctuary, Wednesday night, 6:30. You are dismissed. From your gate.